A lot of people are right now focused on these unprecedented and very weird times we live in. But there's also a great deal of absurdity going on that points to a truth of the faith. Our blessed Lord warned us about the love of the world, about pursuing the love of the world. And today I have for you a story that serves to provide a good example of just what this looks like, of just how absurd it is for the members of the hierarchy to pursue the love of the world and what it always inevitably costs you. The believer, when the world loves members of the hierarchy without themselves embracing Christ. So strap in, because this story is a real head-scratcher, and I hope it serves to lighten the mood just a bit in a time when we frankly all need it. I know that I need it. On to the story. Pope Francis is loved by the world. That's not news, but sometimes it takes an absurd turn. Like it did with the Italian edition of Vanity Fair magazine, which now features Francis on the cover. Yes, a magazine that typically has fashion models and actors on its cover has the Pope. That would be great news if we were talking about a Pope who often was acting Christ-like to the world, bringing a message of hope and repentance combined, a message of the need to cease sinning and to pick up our crosses and to follow our blessed Lord. But that's not what we have, and that's not why he is featured on the cover of that magazine. Francis is being celebrated for his encyclical, Tutti Frutti, or whatever it was called, the big group hug encyclical that represents the greatest hopes and dreams of all the would-be Caesars of the world. That document by itself is the hopes and dreams of the authors of the permanent instruction document that was discovered by Pope Pius IX and promulgated by him and Leo XIII at great personal expense. We are seeing the church now of the hopes and dreams of that, and one result is that the world loves the Pope. Funny how that works out, especially when you're seeking the truth of Christ, and by all accounts, his vicar isn't exactly helping you to find him. But let's have a brief look at the Vanity Fair piece, which I ran through a translation algorithm, so no screenshots here, unfortunately. But in this forthcoming Italian issue, we get this. The new issue of Vanity Fair, which sees Pope Francis as the protagonist, together with his message to face 2021 with love and hope, is on newsstands now. We are all in the same boat. We must become a great family. We had a dream at Vanity Fair for the end of 2020 to start the year with a message from Pope Francis to entrust him with the task of opening 2021 with the confidence in a better tomorrow, writes in his editorial the director of the weekly piece, Simone Marchetti. In recent months, we have talked at length with Francis's partners. End quote. All that is said in the name of some material values that are in vogue at the moment, so to speak. Yeah, not much there that we haven't heard before, but it's a little weird for a Pope to make the cover of this magazine, isn't it? I mean, that magazine is one about the intersection of pop culture and the city of man, neither of which should mean that their target audience is going to care all that much about what the Pope has to say either way. Unless, of course, the Pope is principally concerned with the city of man now, merging the city of man with the city of God. But not in a way that makes the restoration of the reign of Christ the King a reality, as popes of old advocated. That would be not only right-ordered, but probably would happen only in a world where the consecration had been done as per the request at Fatima, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart had occurred, because then the world would bend the knee to Christ willingly and voluntarily. But that hasn't happened yet, obviously. And so we are left with the only plausible hypothesis, based on the facts of the Francis Pontificate. Francis loves the city of man and is focused on worldly concerns. Don't be shocked by that. I mean, it's old news by now, and it's true for obvious reasons, as his encyclicals Laudato Si, Care Dei Amazonia, and Fruit Loops, or whatever it was called, bears witness. To his credit, Francis did give another interview where he said the present situation had caused him to stay in the Vatican more and issued a call to help for Caritas, the Vatican's charity organization that operates pretty much any place that you can name. If you want to read that piece, it's short and in my show notes at returntotradition.org as usual. It's in German, so be warned, and it covers far too many topics not suitable for this place, but it is at least marginally better than this one, though he does criticize anyone not going along with everything going on right now, which is nothing new from him, to be honest. At least this one isn't being a mouthpiece for his encyclical that removed any doubt about what this papacy was all about, though. This isn't the first time Francis or a pope has been the subject of talk by Vanity Fair. In 2020, they covered the film The Two Popes, which compared Francis to Benedict in a way that bears a little resemblance to reality. In that film, we saw all the worst depictions of Benedict brought to the big screen, and Francis portrayed as a humble everyman, a champion of the little guy. While that piece was certainly cheering for Francis, this piece is a bit different in tone. It serves as a springboard for Tutti Frutti and is just the latest example of this. If a tour were possible for Francis, I'm sure he would travel far and wide to spread his message, with various outlets repeating it for him. If you haven't heard that encyclical, I have a treatment of it on this channel. It'll be the recommended video at the end of this one. That encyclical caused a division to emerge among Catholic traditionalists, some of which decided to return to modernism after it was released for, frankly, unfathomable reasons. The reaction was truly astounding, a sort of Amoris Laetitia reaction, but in reverse, at least in terms of the effect it had on traditional Catholics everywhere. But that encyclical was also about seeking the love of the world by removing the Church's standards for itself, which is to be expected. We're so used to that by now. But this all reminds me of something, a work of fiction that, to be clear, I am not endorsing here. Many of you have seen it, so I'll reference it. If not, and if you have been interested, seek out the clips freely available on YouTube, because the show is unfortunately has just enough of that imagery that most Catholics try to avoid that it probably should be avoided. Such is the state of things. But in HBO's The Young Pope, the protagonist, a young American pope by the name of Pius XIII, has a famous address given to the cardinals where he decries what the love of the world under this present real-life papacy has brought to the Church. Nothing of any value. He was being optimistic, and frankly, that show was written by a Catholic who doesn't exactly share our perspective of things anyway. But the love of the world for Francis has gotten the Church more than nothing. It has gotten Francis and the hierarchy of the Church an audience with Caesar and the spirit of the world, which should itself be enough to give any Catholic pause anywhere, regardless of their outlook on things. But it hasn't. Often you will feel like a relatively lone voice wondering if you're just wrong because most Catholics are fine with this sort of thing. When I first saw this cover, my immediate thought, though, was that this magazine is just Tiger Beat magazine for adults, which may not be the most charitable thing for me to say. But imagine if Francis was on the cover of that magazine. If you don't know what Tiger Beat is, or maybe was, I don't even know if it's still around, it's a magazine for girls that focuses on Mickey Mouse Club age stars and culture. It's almost literally the same kind of magazine, except one with Francis on the cover aims at a secular, fully grown-up audience, which is fine until the Supreme Pontiff appears in the magazine, bearing a message not of repentance and cross-carrying and all that sort of thing, but one that is indistinguishable from that of Caesar. That should get anyone's attention, but hasn't, and that's kind of a sad thing, to be honest. Now, what do you think of all this? Are we all just being nitpicky, meanie-head trads over here, focusing on the silly when we should be happy he did this? Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments, please. And as always, pray for the Church, and thank you for listening. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.